All right, read the book of Acts, chapter 7. Those of you who want to look into us, ask questions. Questions at theftdc.org or 866-261-9018. Give us a call and take care of us. And we're glad to hear from you. Say hello or ask questions or comments. I read Acts chapter 7 last Thursday. We stopped at verse 45. And so let's begin reading Acts 7, 46, 47, and 48, beginning at verse 46 together. Who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him a house. Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. In chapter 7, who's talking here?
Stephen.
Why is he talking here?
He's defending his faith.
Oh, he's defending his faith. What is lying in store for him?
Stoning.
His stoning. His life is death. And who was the one in charge and asked him, what are these things true? Who was the man in charge of
him? High priest.
High priest, all right. And so I notice in verse 45, it ends with the words, in the days, unto the days of David. And then verse 46, who refers back to whom?
David.
Found favor before God. Now, was David perfect?
No.
Is anybody perfect? No, but just the Lord Jesus Christ and His Son and God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. But at least he's mentioned, did David find favor with God?
Yes.
He sinned in many ways, and certainly with murder and adultery, these other sins, and acting like a fool and dancing almost without his proper clothing. I mean, different ways, different things. But in Psalm 51, I believe it is, against thee the only have I sinned, and restoring me the joy of thy salvation. God restored him to the joy of his salvation. He repented of his sin. He realized it was wrong. And God used him. And that's why he's called a what? David is called man after God's own heart. So that gives hope for us, doesn't it? Even with all our failures, if we repent of anything that is wrong and change our minds, go back to Him, He can bless us and use us as He did David. And so it says that David found favor before God. What does favor mean?
Grace
or smile or
guidance.
Acceptance. How about that? Acceptance before the Lord. And then what did David want to do when he got right with the Lord in verse 46?
He wanted to build a home for God.
Okay. How did he phrase it? Remember he said, these people dwell in grand houses, but our Heavenly Father and
dwells in the David himself had a house.
That's right. He had a house, and the God the Father just dwells in a tent. It's a tabernacle, something that's right. So that was his goal. He wanted to build. He desired. Did God grant that desire for him to build it?
No,
what did he do to provide for it?
He prepared for it.
Okay, prepared all the silver and gold and the money and lavishly. Why didn't God want David to build that house?
He's a man of war.
Man of war. In what sense was he a man of war?
Something, didn't it?
All right.
A lot of his brain was taken up by fighting.
All right.
Wars.
Yes, Ken.
Well, some of the consequence of his sin was some of the wars that were within his own family.
Yes.
With Absalom and
yes.
King and
all those wars. And so the Lord said no. What does that indicate to us as far as a desire we may have and what the Lord would have either for or against? What does that message does that might tell to us?
May or may not be his will,
and he may stop the desires that we have. Are all the desires of those who are genuinely saved, are all those desires proper and godly? No. Some of them are in line with the Lord. Sometimes he says no. So David desired, but who did finally actually build the house in verse 47?
Solomon,
his son. All right, so was Solomon perfect?
No.
No, he was not.
No,
how many wives did he have?
700.
And how many concubines?
370.
1,000. I don't know whether that includes the 1,001, the Queen of Sheba, but or not Queen of Sheba, but I mean
the Pharaoh's
daughter, yes. But anyway, but he built a house. Let me ask you this. Well, it says right there, what is the truth in verse 48 about houses, temples made with hands? What does he mean by this verse?
He doesn't really dwell in there, I guess.
All right. As said the prophet. Now, in this day and age in which we live, does he dwell in big cathedrals in the Roman Catholic Church, or in the Muslim mosques, or in big churches of Protestants, or where does God dwell?
In our believers.
In believers, in saved, born-again Christians, and our body is what?
Temple.
A temple of the Holy Spirit. And this is a very important thing. And what did that tabernacle, or that temple rather, that Solomon built, did that last forever?
No.
How many other temples did they build in addition to that?
Two.
Let's start with Solomon, then what's next?
Zerubbabel.
What happened to Solomon's temple?
It was destroyed by the Babylonians.
And then Zerubbabel. They came back, right?
Nehemiah and Ezra.
After they came back from captivity, they built another temple. What's next?
Herod's
temple. Mm-hmm. All right. And what?
Had it been completely destroyed, or had it not?
Maybe some part is still there. Maybe I don't know.
Rubble.
It would have been during the time
of
the 400 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That could be
just fine. Will you review about Zerubbabel?
After the captivity.
After the 7 years captivity in Babylon, the Jews came back under Ezra and Nehemiah.
Yeah,
remember, built that temple.
Oh, the king then at the time?
I think he was the governor, ruler.
He's there in the Holy Land.
Yes, they came back to Palestine, back to Jerusalem.
Why was it called Zerubbabel's temple?
I guess because he's the leader in charge of it.
Why is it called Solomon's temple?
See, he's the one that was responsible for building it. So that's the second one. Now, Dan said the third one was Herod's temple. When did that take place?
In the year, sometime around. Which year?
Zero AD, BC, and so on. So, what happened to Herod's temple? That was a temple that was
destroyed by 70
BC. That is 70 AD.
Yeah.
AD.
You said the date, not if I divided. I'm on date. That's a BC instead of AD.
So all these temples. Now, what's going to happen in the tribulation period? Now, is all the temple destroyed, by the way? What is still standing? At least they think
it's
the wall. Now, some dispute whether that's the wall or not.
Pardon me?
Probably
not the whole wall.
This portion of the eastern wall, the western wall. Well, some people wonder about a lot of things. Where is the temple? Is it there? Is it somewhere else? But anyway, if we believe that that's the wall, part of it is there. What about, that's the fourth, is that the fourth?
Yeah.
What about during the tribulation period?
Is that the fourth temple or the third temple?
This would be the third. So we have three temples. Solomon, Zerubbabel, Herod. Is that right?
Yeah. I forgot about that.
What about the tribulation temple?
There will be another one.
Why do we know that?
Because there's going to be an abomination of desolation.
Abomination of desolation. And what's going to happen to the Antichrist? What's he going to do?
He's going to enter something. Either enter there or he's going to offer something.
What's he going to offer?
Maybe a pig. I don't really know.
He's
just
going to
be standing there.
Bill.
He's going to proclaim himself to be God there in the temple.
That's right. And so, apparently it has to be a temple somewhere. Now, a lot of people said there's already laying the foundations of this temple to come. And then, that's the fourth temple. Is there a fifth temple, or what's the fifth temple?
The millennial temple.
But with all the temples,
the millennial temple be the same as the tribulation temple?
Probably be a different one, I would say. Maybe the tribulation temple is going to be destroyed by the Antichrist. I don't really know that. It could be the millennial temple just continues. It could be that, rather than a separate one.
Mm-hmm.
That's possible. But there's this depiction of that. But the most important thing is in verse 48, the Most High, that is God, doesn't dwell and temples made with hands, as is said of the prophet. But in those that are genuine are saved in the bodies, and our bodies are the temple.
I'm trying to.
And a lot of times, churches build big buildings, and what happens very quickly to the big buildings and the people that are inhabiting those big buildings and churches?
They go astray.
They go astray. Pastor Dan has been describing that very decidedly in his History of Fundamentalism classes every Friday. Tomorrow, 3 to 4:30, its number is number 9, Dan?
Class number 9, yes.
Class number 9. And it shows that these things, these temples don't last long as far as standing for the proper scriptures and proper positions. Now let's read verse 40. Yes, bye-bye.
The man that came there to the meetings that come to all of our meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Everything.
Yes.
Oh, you mean the Spanish man?
No.
Oh.
The man that we can't remember his name,
yes.
He gave the book.
They know.
Dooning. Mr. Dooning.
Yeah,
yes, that's Mr. Dooning wants you to have that.
Yeah.
The book there on evolution, against evolution, a lot of effort. Now, somebody pointed out to me, I didn't notice, but the introduction is written by someone we don't agree with, but the book is, apparently the book is, I didn't see that. So I'm going to tell him that in my email, because he's going to be at the Niedenbergian Society. He's been to all the different ones, and he's been here in our church too. So
he brought his wife because he wanted his wife to meet us.
Yes, that's right.
Which was nice.
That's right. I'm all the way from Elton, Illinois or something.
It's Indiana, Illinois. I never met her before.
No, not him. But he's been.
We never met before. And then he showed me pictures of his son who came here when he was a younger person with his father.
But he was still calling.
He was
Anna, he's still calling what?
What? I mean.
You remember him?
His son, when he was younger, was taller than me.
Oh, you remember him?
I mean, I don't think of him as being
young. Andy, do you remember?
Yeah.
Maybe that's why.
I don't think of him as being young because he was taller than me.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's probably about the same. He asked for you, and he wanted to have a book. You give to him. Please give that book.
I mean, he came here for the class trip. I mean, he was homeschooling, I think, and his graduation.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. His mother didn't sound like he was a little boy when he was like full grown.
He was 18 years old.
But was Anna as old as Grandma?
No.
Okay. Or Mama? Or Papa?
No.
I know.
I didn't say it was like,
And I understand now, Grandma has an opinion. Oh, I won't say that.
Grandma always has opinions that should be announced all the time.
All right.
We can discuss it.
We look away on Sunday morning, more people are watching.
We can discuss it later.
Afterwards, we'll talk about Grandma's opinion.
Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
We can put it on 24 hours.
We're over there in verse 48. Houses come and go, and temples come and go, and churches come and go. Let's read verse 49, 50, and 51 together. Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house would you build me, saith the Lord? For what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Right, verse 49. What does God...
I do have a question. Maybe I asked it already.
What?
Did Stephen know he's going to be stoned?
He probably had a sneaky suspicion. He knew that they hated him.
I can't remember this so long ago. How did he start talking?
They accused him of all these vicious things against the law of Moses, against the Bible, the Old Testament.
What's that called when you defend yourself?
Pro se.
Pro se.
By yourself.
I was thinking pro bono, but I mean
that's
one good faith.
And pro bono is without any charge.
Well, yes.
Without charge?
Without charge.
Yeah.
When a lawyer takes a case pro bono, you don't have to pay him a dime. Now, some lawyers, of course, as you know, they take a 50% of anything they may receive as far as the end of the suit. And so sometimes they take a third. Anyway, pro bono. So, where were we? Yes, now, when God answered this, you asked the question, that answered, honey, I think
he
probably knew, because they were really ready to kill him, and he disputed very decidedly against him. But in verse number 49, God goes on and tells him what about temples not made with hands. He doesn't dwell there. What does the Lord say in verse 49? Does he need a temple?
Heaven is my throne.
Heaven. What is included in heaven?
Everything.
His throne, his personality, where he is. Now he is in a place called heaven, which is a place, but he's omnipresent, he's everywhere present, but the location, his primary location is heaven. My throne, what does that mean? What's the throne?
Where he reigns.
In other words, he's a ruler. Now, do people want him to rule them today?
Some do.
Very few. Earth is my footstool. What does that mean? Who made the heaven? God himself.
Yeah.
And what's in the earth is my footstool.
He just rests his foot on it. Yeah.
All right. Let me ask a simple question.
If
Dr. Jack Mormon's book on geocentricity is factual, many, many verses of scripture, maybe 75 or 100 verses, thinking we have a foundation. If it is rotating, which Dr. Mormon says no, and if it's revolving around the sun,
there's different things. There's rotating on its axis and revolving. There's
two
things.
And Dr. Mormon points out neither is factual. It's not rotating. It's not revolving. Anyway, I'm saying if it's moving as the scientists today tell us it is, what would that be like as the Lord's footstool?
Be steady.
It'd be all over.
This is interesting.
I never thought about that, but this is the earth is my footstool.
It'd be like having it on some kind of a
Ferris wheel or something.
Yeah, something.
what does the footstool mean? What's important to footstool?
It's the rest of your feet.
Okay, but remember, it says he will reign until he makes his enemies his footstool. What is that picture there?
Well,
stool the foot.
Submission.
All right. Victory. Yeah.
In those days, and probably over there, when people kill somebody, they put their foot on the person's neck.
On the neck. You're right. That's right.
If they cut the head off, I don't know exactly know where they put the foot.
There's no head to put it, but anyway, yeah.
Remember when David killed the Goliath? Well, to cut his head off, he put his foot someplace.
Yeah.
Or maybe I made that up.
So the footstool means defeat, doesn't it? The person has been defeated completely. And then, what is the question the Lord asks? That Stephen quotes here at the end of verse 49.
What house will you build me?
What house will you build me? I've got everything. Did the Lord need a house to be built? He owns everything. Cattle on 1,000 hills are his. And what house will you build me? Said the Lord. Or what is the place of my rest? Now what does that mean? What is the place of my rest?
He said that.
See,
probably means he doesn't have to rest anyway.
And the point of it is, if you pigeonhole the Lord, I'm speaking out specifically, and make him a special place, and that's the only place he can rest, is that true? Is the Lord pigeonholed and defined in one particular place?
No.
He's all over. He's omniscient.
Omnipotent. Everywhere. Otherwise, he wouldn't know what's going on everywhere.
Exactly. And those that are genuinely born again Christians, saved, we're the temple of the Holy Spirit and God dwells. So, but where's the place of the rest? Then in verse 50, did we read 50? I think we read 50, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Yeah. What does that mean? My hand. What is God's hand? Is this, what type of speech is this called? What was it?
Anthropomorphism.
And those two words, anthropo means
man
and morphe?
The traits of man.
What is anthropopathism?
The emotions.
That's right, because anthropo man, papel, to feel, the feelings. That's right, the emotions. But this is, and it talks about, had not my hands, how many things did the Lord make?
How many things?
Everything. All the things of this universe. Now, there are a lot of things that men make. They make automobiles and automobiles and planes and chairs and everything. Yeah.
So, if you didn't make the atoms that those things are made out of.
He didn't make the what?
The atoms of those things are made out of.
He made
those. They only use the building blocks that were already in existence, one form what is.
Now, Bill is questioning that. What does he mean, Bill?
God made everything, including the atoms.
I don't think you were saying that.
I said God made the atoms. We did not make the atoms.
That's right.
And my point being that, yes, we didn't really create chairs.
You're right.
We used the building blocks that God gave us to make stuff.
That's right.
That we found useful.
His hand made all things, all the creation, the trees and the animals and the people and clouds and everything, mountains and glaciers. So, the great creator. That's reverse number. Well, we read 51. Well, go ahead, Dan.
Okay, so it's this passage here in Isaiah, Acts 7, 49, is a quote from
48.
Pardon me. Isaiah, Acts chapter 7, 49.
What is it, 49?
Okay, verses 48?
I don't know.
Well, this
is... Well,
it's... I'm not sure what I'm saying, but anyway, this one is the verse we just read. It's a quote from Isaiah, which comes before Jeremiah. Isaiah 66,
1 and 2.
So verses 1 and 2 there.
You can read that, then.
Isaiah 66. I was just there. Isaiah 66:1 to the earth. You have, thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye built unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all these things have mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But the man who I look even to him that is poor and of contrite spirit and of terrible at my word and trembled at my word.
So Stephen was quoting scripture, wasn't it? The Bible.
Amazing how he knows the scripture.
Yes, he knew all that and quoted that. And so the Lord made all things, and of course the evolutionists don't believe that, do they? They don't believe the creation. Very important that we see that he did make all things. Alright, and then verse 51, I think we read that. We'll stop at this one. What does stiff neck mean?
Stubborn.
Unwilling to move. Uncircumcised in heart. What does that mean?
They're following,
but inwardly, their heart is far from him. What nation did God give the circumcision right?
Israel.
To Israel, the Jews, all right. And they to be uncircumcised, was God pleased with the Jews that were uncircumcised?
No.
Remember in the wilderness, they all of a sudden they had circumcised a lot of people? Mm-hmm. Yes. And
we were talking about this on Sunday.
Oh, good.
Verse 29 of chapter 2 in Romans. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit and not in the letter. His praise is not of men, but of God.
Yes, very good. So it set them apart, the external circumcision, but the circumcision of the heart should be set apart too, and should be obedient. And this is an important thing. Uncircumcision of heart and ears. What's the difference between the ears and the heart?
Not willing to listen
and not willing to really believe and obey. Heart attitude. Then what does he say? Ye do always resist. What does resist mean?
Push away.
Fight. Be diligent against the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. What fathers are you referring to here?
The wilderness people.
Wilderness people, all those Old Testament people that hated him, hated the Lord. That's right. The rebels. Now, let me ask you this. In verse 51, is that a politically correct statement that Stephen's making to the high priest and his Pharisees? Do you think they took that with the deeds?
Not especially.
No?
Given what happens in a few verses.
Okay, let's read it. We'll read the few verses and we'll take it up next week. Let's read 52, 53, and 54 to get the background. Which of your fathers have not your fathers, our fathers, your fathers persecuted?
Which
of the prophets? Okay, let's start again. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which showed before the coming of the Just One, of whom he has now been betrayed and murdered, but received the law of the disposition of angels, have not kept it. When they have heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed them one with the teeth. I will pick this up next week, but let's stop right here. If you have any other comments or questions on things that we talked about tonight. All right, let's close in the word of prayer. Our Father, we do thank you for Stephen's steadfastness, his quoting of the scriptures, the Old Testament verses. We thank you that he was firm. He answered. He did that which is right. And now we know what's going to happen to him. And they're going to kill him. We're very sad to see that. But Lord, we may face similar trials. Help us not to chicken out, as they say, not to be embarrassed of the Lord Jesus Christ. If it comes to blows or our own death or punishment or imprisonment, whatever it might be, help us to stand firm as good soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ and stand up for him against all evilness and wickedness that's around us. Give us a good day on the Lord's Day, and guide us and direct us in all the days of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen.